Praise the Lord. It was good just talking to some of the ladies. They were asking questions, and I thought that I'd just add this to part of our, you know, self-deliverance is that I remember just when I was started out with realizing I'm the king and I'm going to rule over my soul and my body. And so being the personality I am, there's some extremities there. And so with my soul decided it wanted something, I would deliberately, you know, so I cut out sugar, you know, if it was going to be disobedient, my soul. And so I was treating it like another entity, and you know, like a child, exactly. And so, okay, you're not having, you know, if it was overcoming sort of, you know, depression and tantrum type stuff, or sort of like, not so much sulking, but kind of not manipulative, because I was not manipulative, but just kind of just wanting my own way. Yeah, you know, girls, there's a man in the room, he doesn't know that kind of and so you know, some of those things I would be quite hard on myself to the point it was just a bit extreme. And so God just was gently just moving me on how to rule my life from my spirit, and he would say to me, Vanessa, remember, you're a good king. You're a good king. You don't come in and whip your soul. And then he took me to the psalm where David spoke to his soul. And he says, come on, my soul, why are you downcast? Come on, rejoice in the Lord. We will again praise him. And so speaking to the soul, sometimes the soul needs grace, you know. And again, so God taught me, you know, sort of during that time, come on, you're a good king. I don't, you know, you're not a tyrant, you know, because again, I had fasted for 20 days to shut this voice down. I thought, okay, like that, cold showers. It sounds a little bit like Martin Luther King, you know, trying to get salvation by works. And so again, it's interesting, our spirit, soul and body, you know, it's interesting how we can get into legalism. And you can take this and make it and become legalistic with it. And as we, Stefan and I, were moving into this, this teaching wasn't around 30 years ago. You know, sort of Kenneth Hagin stuff, you know. And you know, you can go online now and hear teaching like this. And so, you know, we were kind of just learning our way through that stuff. And again, he didn't seem to have as many strongholds as me. Or I think it was because he just didn't voice them. You know, like men are, you know, women have 2,400, you know, 24,000 words a day, and the men have 12. And so, of course, we're going to get ourselves into more trouble. Yes, exactly. And so, you know, God was just having to work through things with me. And so, just, Vanessa, also be gracious with your soul. Come on, why are you downcast, O my soul? Come on, rejoice in the Lord. And then David also said, he said, I quietened my soul like a weaned child within me. I quietened my soul. It's in Psalm 132, and then the other one's 42, I think. I quietened my soul like a weaned child. Like a weaned child within me. And so sometimes the soul just needs, come on, sweetie. And talk to yourself like that, girls. Come on, sweetie, we can yet praise him. Come on, he's the hope of our countenance. He's the help of our countenance. Come on, we can. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so even counseling your soul like that, and you'll find that your soul will kind of, and nestle in. And it's just being, you know, sort of like not a hard mum, but just nestling in there. Say, come on, sweetie, you can do it. We can do that. You know, but I can't. I've fallen again. You know, your soul's saying that inside, I've fallen. No, come on. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Come on, sweetie, we can do it again. And so starting to just that softness with your soul. And so there's times when you're going to come in and there's going to be a roar, but then there's other times when you're just going to say, come on. Why are you downcast? We're going to praise him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember, we're seated in heavenly places. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You will see the three parts of your being when you, the soul, spirit, start to speak to your soul. And you can feel the response. You will feel that response. Because your soul will go, and she'll come and she'll come on in. And so I just encourage you just to finish off that session by we're good kings. And there's times, you know, as mums, you know, and then there's other times when you're like that. And so our soul, we need to do that. There's times when you're not going to, you know, you're not going to listen to nonsense, you know, and you're going to speak the word. And there's just at times when the soul just needs. And remember, we're good kings. God's a good king. He's long-suffering. And so he wants us to be long-suffering as well in that area of ministering to ourselves. And you know, it's amazing how God is gracious in all of that area, just in that walk. And there was another question about our husbands. One thing that we can speak over our husbands, and we can use our faith to say, thank you, Father God, that my husband loves me. Yes. Ephesians 5, my husband loves me as Christ loves the church. Yes. And he's given himself for me. Yes. An offering. And so you speak that out in prayer. And taking the scriptures and worshipping them, worshipping God with them. Yes. Father, I thank you that my husband loves me as Christ loves the church. He's given himself for me. And so, Father God, I just thank you. I honor my husband. And start to give that as a worship back to God. And just allow these scriptures to worship. Worship him with it. And just allow that to go. Thank you, Father. And then I've told the girls on the front row here that doing an alphabet, thinking of all the words in the alphabet, that my husband is awesome. He's blessed, he's courageous, he's diligent, he's excellent, he's faithful, he's good or gracious. And just going through, you can go for a walk around the block, and he may not be any of those things, but you take the alphabet and just invent these beautiful words. I'll tell you what, your marriage will be transformed in 3 months. It absolutely will be transformed. Write down those. In fact, I can email them through to Barbara, and I've added ones there. They're not the ones that I have used because I've added more descriptions. But I mean, just going through that and just speaking life over him. Yes.
What's
the XYZ? XYZ, he's zealous. Zealous. Zealous for good works. He's radical. He's strong. He's tenacious. He's mighty. I've just put excellent. Excellent. And that's good. I mean, God's the excellent one. You know, our Lord, how excellent is your name? And then it goes, as for the saints on the earth, we are the excellent ones. And so do that with God yourself and just write them down and just start to speak that out over your marriage and over him. And declaring that my husband loves me as Christ loved the church. And he's given himself for me. He may not be doing that now, but your word, you're not going to agree with what is. You're worshipping God back with what the word says about him. And so just again, turning all of that into worship. And you can even I'm talking now, you can sense a different spirit, a different presence in the place. And so we're good kings. We're doing what God wants us to. And again, that means it's easy. And I was also talking to another lady here that was just tormented by certain things. Some of those scriptures for your strongholds, I would just say, Father, if you're struggling with depression, why not just give yourself a challenge of declaring and worshipping before the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, I thank you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And every time you say, I can sense the presence of God saying that now. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And just say it 100 times. If this is tormenting you day and night, turn it back around and start to bring it as an offering to the Lord and just worship God with that word. Thank you, Father. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Your love is shed abroad in my heart. Thank you, Lord God, that you are my peace that has broken down every wall. That I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It guards my heart and mind as I rest in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for that peace. And what you're doing is then you're actually releasing that anointing over you. And I can see, my soul's right now filled. I can feel it all now just tingling. Why? Just ministering to the soul. And so you can do that. Wow. Absolutely wonderful. And so that's just kind of bringing that balance from a warfare, which we fight not against flesh and blood, but against, you know, and so that brings that back into worship and focusing on the Lord. So you've got some homework to do about your husbands. You can declare that over your children, declaring that over yourself. And just worshiping God with that. And just not listening, not allowing Satan to gossip into our mind and criticize our husbands. This is our covenant. We're one flesh. We're one flesh. God no longer sees us as two. He sees us as one. And if we're speaking against him, we're speaking against our own selves. Okay? And it's cursing our own selves. And so we're not siding with the devil against our husband. No way. We're speaking life over him. We're declaring he's on the top. He's on the top of the mountain, exceedingly glorious. He grows in wisdom and favor with God and man. And just say that. Make it into poetry. He grows in wisdom and favor with God and man. Wisdom and favor with God and man. Father, I thank you. Just absolutely. And just take it and just declare blessing. I'll tell you what, he'll come home and whoo, his wife in love with him and he'll just wonder what's going on. And even sexuality, ladies, I would really say that you minister him. Do not withhold. We're not withholding our right. We're not. God says you come together. You only withhold yourself for fasting, but then he says you come together again. And so your husband has a right to your body. Your body is not yours. It's his body. And so we don't manipulate in that area, because God has designed him that way, and so therefore he's a visual man. He's more sexually driven than a woman. But we need to minister to our husbands, and that is as a worship to God. God said that the marriage bed is undefiled, and so sex within a marriage is undefiled. It is beautiful to God, and God sees it as us actually fulfilling our role, and so ministering to him in that area absolutely is very, very important. And we do that as just worship. And you will want to give your body over to him and love him that way if you're confessing over him and confessing honor over him and just loving him and ministering. And women, if he's making any decisions in the corporate world or in the decision world, you make sure that you actually minister to him sexually before he's going out into warfare. Because he needs that. That's part of the sexuality. He needs that. We don't so much need that. We can shut that off. A woman can shut that down if she wants to, but a man can't. And so with the sexual stuff that's happening in the world right now, visually all over the place, you know, a man can't look anywhere without seeing half-naked women and women doing whatever, and then he comes home and his wife doesn't want to minister in that area. That's really cruel. It's not right. And so even yourself, being able to worship God with that, thank you, Father. And just worshiping God with that, and it's right. We should actually have the best sex life in the world because God created it and said it was good. Man should not be alone, and he made it a helpmate, and he took time to shape her, and he made her look good, and he made the man and said it was good. But when he made the girl, he said she's very good. She's very good. Okay, exactly. And so God created it, and it's good. And so we're allowing ourselves to awaken ourselves in that area with the Holy Ghost and minister to him. And I believe that that will actually help and be a blessing to him even in his corporate world when he's out on the cold face, you know, looking after his family and bringing in, you know, the bounty for his children and his wife. And you minister that way and he'll be on top of the mountain. I tell you, he'll go to work with a song in his heart. He'll be able to take down any giant. Okay? And so... But that, I wasn't meaning to say that, so that must be prophetic. Take that as a prophetic word from the Lord for some people here, for us ladies here, and I'm speaking to myself too. Absolutely. So let's just have a quick look at intercession. We gave you papers, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to go through all of that today because we don't have time. And again, so what I'm probably going to do is just maybe talk about the travail. I'm not going to talk about, hey, we're called to intercession. I'll just talk about, yes. You'll need a magnifying glass to see some of that. I think it's probably in print. But the foundation scriptures that Jesus talked about, he said that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. My house. Now, God's very particular about his house. If you look in the Old Testament with the tabernacle, he liked everything awesome. And he came and dwelled in that place when it was all ready. When the temple was built, he came in and dwelled in that place and it was all ready. But that wasn't God's final dwelling place. When Jesus came on the earth, Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the enemy because God was with him. The Holy Spirit filled him. But that wasn't his final destination. We are the house of God. God was aiming at you and I to come and dwell in us. I will not only be with them, God says, but I will dwell inside them. And so he has made us a house of prayer. He says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. He said also, and actually that scripture is taken out of Isaiah 56, where God talks about that Israel, even under the old covenant, was to actually be praying for the Gentile nations, and the Gentiles would come on in. And so we are the house of prayer for all nations. We're different than the Old Testament, in that we don't, we're not just limited to our natural language, we have got a supernatural language. Our language has been set on fire by heaven. When Adam sinned, his tongue was set on fire by hell, and he had the ability to create death. Before that, he could only create life. But when he sinned, his tongue got set on fire from hell, and he was able to curse and bring forth death. When the Holy Ghost came into the earth and filled the church, the fire came down and our tongue got filled with fire, and we're now speaking life. And so your heavenly language of speaking in tongues is absolutely perfectly speaking life. There is no death in your language, your heavenly language. There's 10 benefits of speaking in tongues, which I can't get into right now, but there's 10 benefits. And so I would encourage you to speak much in tongues. You're calling, you're speaking out your future. If you don't know what you're called to do, start praying in tongues. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Intercession, part of our weapons and part of our tools for interceding and praying is to be able to speak in tongues. You see, in our natural language, we run out of words. And we don't know, Ephesians 8 says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. How's he making intercession? By when we're praying in tongues. And then that scripture goes on to say, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Now people take that scripture out of context and they say about all kinds of horrible things that have happened. Well, God works in all things for good, you know. But no, that scripture within the context is talking about intercession. I'm praying in tongues. I don't know what I'm saying, but we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So I don't know what I'm praying right now, but I know it's good. So if you put that in context and read that in Ephesians and Romans 8, you'll see it straight after talking about intercession, that we don't always have to know what we're interceding for. Sometimes it's none of our business. God is not a gossip. And he's not going to go open up someone's private life to us and tell us about stuff that we don't need to know. And so, but I'm praying for that situation. I'm having a burden. I'm just sensing, hey, this person here, or my sister, or my brother, or my husband, or somebody within the church, or somebody within a globe, that there's just a burden. I'm just feeling a And so I'm just saying, what is that? What's going on, Father? And then I just start to pray in the Spirit. Now, he may show me things or he may not. It's none of my business. All I know is I'm giving him my tongue, I'm giving him my time, I'm giving him my tongue, I'm giving him my body, and he is using my words to actually bring answers into that situation. And I know that all things that I am praying are working for good to those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. And so we just know that after I've come out of that time praying in the Holy Ghost and that burden is there, that I keep praying and I keep praying and I keep praying until I sense glory and I sense the presence of God. And when I sense the presence of God, I go, Father, I don't know what that was all about, but I know it's good. Amen. Something was established. Something was done. Something was achieved. Amen. And so when you're picking up those burdens of the burdens in the spirit realm, and that's what it is. There's kind of like a, you know, I'll cut short here. That's why it's important for our soul to be at peace and our emotions to be under the authority of the word. Because when I'm walking and I go out with joy and I'm led forth in peace, and my life is just like this, joy and peace. Now when the joy leaves and the peace leaves, I know something's wrong. And I'm saying, the first thing I'm saying is, Father, what's going on? And I start to pray. And so this is why it's important the church grows up in all things into Christ and gets our soul on an even keel. Because if my soul's like this, then I'm not quite sure, is this me? Is this what's happening here? Is this me I'm supposed to be praying for? Is this my soul that's kind of gone out of left field? And it's hard to pick up the burdens of intercession for other people. But when we've come to the place where the word has filled our spirit, the word has renewed our mind, and our body is in line, then hey, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We're going, exactly, and we're going in joy and peace. So when the joy leaves, the peace leaves, then our alert system is on up. And that's why it says in that scripture, God has put watchmen on the walls. They do not hold their peace day and night. You who make mention of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, take out the stones, build a highway. And so as soon as me, for myself, I'm like on radar here, and I'm just looking in environments, and when I'm feeling up, I'm going, shukara basara basara basanda. Immediately, he's just pressed the button, and I'm praying. Kura basara basara basanda. And then I say in English, Satan, I don't know what you're up to, but right now, I put a stop on it. Amen. I don't have to know. And if people try to know, then they're going to complicate things. Oh, there's a devil I saw up on the highway there, or there was one on the tree, or there's one in the chimney, or, you know. I mean, we don't need to witch hunt. It's none of our business. All I need to say is, Satan, whatever you're up to, stop. Amen. Stop. And kura bashara basanda. And then I will go into tongue. Then your tongue may change into different languages. And then you'll get used to a warring tongue. You'll get used to a tongue that's pushing things out. And you'll feel that those tongues will change. Sometimes it's a... and you can't speak, and it's kind of a, like sometimes your body will feel things within your body, and you will just carry on working with that until you feel the presence of God, until the glory comes. Now, a burden can stay on you, on and off, and God understands you need to work, you need to sleep, you need to do your daily business, look after the children. But it's interesting, with these burdens or this intercession, it can come you and you can feel it like a weight, and we'll have a look at some scripture there, and you're praying with it, but if you have to go to work, it kind of just eases a bit. You can still feel it's there, but you're just called a bashara basara basa. But when you get alone again, it'll come on down a bit further, and you'll feel that heaviness there, and you just keep praying and keep praying in tongues until it lifts. And I encourage our intercessors, don't just pray in tongues until it lifts. Wait until there's more and more glory, so that the presence of God is just weighted. You know, the presence of God is heavy with everything good. That's the Shekinah, the Shalom, where they couldn't stand to minister in the house because the cloud had come on in, and the physical body couldn't handle it. And so you're Kura basa, andosima, sha, surabasa, ondamasi, amasina nasalala. And you just keep on putting that anointing over that situation. And then you come out of that and say, Daddy, that was good. Mission accomplished. And so often 4 a.m, waking up, something's wrong. It's the first thing I'm doing. Okay, what's going on? Stop. Stop. We don't know whether we're praying for people that's a car accident on a highway somewhere in New Zealand. Somewhere, anywhere. But God has got his men and his women saying, I'm here. I am available. You just wake me up, do whatever you want. And we don't have to let everyone know what we're doing. We just pray. Pray in tongues. Tongue talkers. And you will notice as you get more seasoned than that. There was a season reading after Kenneth Hagin, and anybody wanting to read stuff on intercession, he's outstanding. And in my younger years again, I asked Stefan if I could pray for long periods of time. Kenneth Hagin talked about praying for an hour, and the devil came to him and said, well, you've just wasted an hour. And devil said, and Hagin said, for that, I'm going to pray another hour. Devil came back to him and said, you've just wasted another hour. He went to 5 hours, and the devil kept on coming to him. And by 5 hours, he said, I hit a gusher. He said, I hit a gusher. And when I heard that on the reel-to-reel tapes, I thought, I wonder what the gusher is. I need to find out. And so Stephen and I started praying, and he allowed me to pray from 6:30 in the evening until 2 in the morning. And I did that for a period of 12 weeks, just praying. This was when the kids were little, and just praying in the Spirit. And it's good. What it did was it taught me my tongues and taught me the realms of the Spirit and being sensitive and understanding what's going on in the spirit realm. And so you can actually season yourself. I mean, if you're only praying 5 minutes a day, it's not enough to learn the languages of the Spirit, because the Bible talks about diverse tongues. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, and it talks about diverse tongues, so there's different tongues for different purposes. There's tongues and interpretation. And this is another thing I'll quickly tell you. Some people say, well, not everyone has the gift of tongues. Yes, they do. They misinterpret that scripture when it says, does everybody have tongues? No, it doesn't. Well, that scripture in context is talking about the gift of tongues and interpretation. There's a difference between your personal tongue, which is for everyone, and the gift of tongues and interpretation. And so those need to be discerned correctly. The gift of tongues for personal edification, exhortation and comfort, all of that kind of stuff for your personal life, you need to be praying in the Spirit. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem to the disciples until you receive the power from on high. And so they waited in Jerusalem, and you see everyone in the book of Acts, when they received the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues. That was the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost, is that you have the gift of speaking in tongues. And you will need your heavenly language to move into intercession. Satan cannot understand that language unless it's a diverse tongue and God deliberately lets him understand it. But it is the tongue of men and of angels. So we're activating our angels. The Word of God says that the angels are hearkening or listening to the voice of His Word. And so when we're speaking the Word, whether it's English or our natural tongue, or we're declaring our spiritual language, Kurabashanda, they're listening for that word and they will go out and they will fulfill that word. And you see that here in the book of Daniel, where Daniel was praying for Israel at the time, and he had been praying, and then it took 21 days for that prayer to come forth. And the angel that came to him said, Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, your prayers were heard in heaven, and I have come for your words. He says, but I was fighting a principality. And in that scripture in Daniel 9, it's talking about the king of Persia, which was King Cyrus. But then when the angel spoke, he said, I needed to fight against a prince of Persia. The king and the prince were two different people. This was a person, this was an angelic spirit, an evil spirit that's influencing. If you have a look there, Daniel chapter 9, the king of Persia is addressed. And then the angel said, Daniel, the moment that you spoke, your words were heard, but I needed to fight through. I was fighting the prince of Persia. And in fact, it was so hard, I needed to call Michael, one of the other princes, to help me. And I've come for your words. And so in intercession, there is a fight that is going on. And we don't let go of those burdens. We keep going, keep going, keep going, until the answer has come into the earth somewhere. We don't know what we're fighting in the spirit realm. But if you're sensing that burden, you're sensing that stuff, you just and just keep going and allowing God to use that. Why do we need to pray? Because God has given us the authority of the earth. Man was given authority of the earth. Some theologians believe for a 6,000 year period, 6 days on the earth, then we're going to have the seventh day, which is the millennial rest, where Jesus comes and he's going to rule on that millennial, that last millennium. So man has the earth and a lease for the 6,000 years. Remember, Adam gave it to Satan. Jesus came back as the last Adam, took it back, said, all authority has been given to me. But Satan still is the god of this world system. And so we are the spiritual police force, which Psalm talks about, that we're executing on him the judgment that is written. And so we're going into places and we're saying, Satan, it is written. Get out. If the police aren't going to arrest the criminals run wild. If the church, who is the spiritual police force in the earth, if we're not arresting him, he's running wild. And so we arrest him in our nation and say, stop that. I'm not putting up with that. We're not having that in our nation. And kura bashara basara basa, and start to speak. If you're listening to the news, you're not happy, speak and say no. No, that's not happening. And as I said earlier, if we continue to say no, all of us saying no, we're releasing life, we're releasing the angels. It's removing the sons of darkness that are under the sway of the wicked one. That's what it says. All the earth is under the sway of the wicked one. He's blinded the minds of the people, lest they believe the glorious gospel. So in our intercession, we're coming against spiritual blindness. Remember, we're saying, Father God, we declare their eyes are open and they can see. Because the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest they believe the glorious gospel and get saved. And so our intercession is declaring that their eyes are open and they can see. If everyone knew what hell looked like and knew they were heading for hell, you can guarantee they'll bow their knees to Jesus Christ. If they're blind, they can't see. And so we're arresting those demonic spirits over family members, over husbands, wives, children. And declaring their eyes are open, they can see. And praying and praying and declaring in the Holy Ghost. And you see, God will give you a burden and he will warn you of things to come, like I, again, repeating that, with your children. And you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're sensing something's wrong. Stop it. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you stop on earth is stopped in heaven. Another translation says, whatever you allow, I will have to allow. Whatever you disallow or stop, I can back you and I can stop it. So what's the church allowing on the earth? What are we allowing in our nation? If we say, no, I don't allow that. Have a look at the translations in there in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. Go and have a look at all the different translations on what in heaven. I think the New Century Version's got fantastic translation of that. Whatever you allow, I have to allow. And so we say, no, I'm not allowing that. And so what happens here, I'll just quickly finish now with just this, the burdens of the Lord. If you have a look there and talking about labouring, we cannot have births in the church. Let's have a look, I'll see where I am. So you can see from how I'm talking fast, there's a big teaching on this whole area. Keys of the kingdom, interceding for the lost. Just let's have a look in Isaiah 62 here. God says, I have set watchmen on your walls. They shall never hold their peace day or night. Well, how can we do that? Shakarabasidiarabashanda. Kurabasharabasanda. Where we go to sleep, the Christians on the other side of the globe. Shakarabasurabasarabasanda. Shukuyarabarabasarabasanda. We're not holding our peace day or night. Shurabasanda. It goes on to say, you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Anyone telling you to be quiet? Silence? No, no. God says, don't keep silent. I need your tongue. I need your tongue, because when you're speaking in tongues, it's perfect life. It's absolutely the will of God. Do not keep him silent. Give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So we're not giving rest until the church is established in the earth. You know, our forefathers, they established Christianity and the Reformation nations. You look at the Reformation nations across the globe. They were the prosperous nations in the earth. They had law, they have order, they have government, they have police, they have hospitals, education. What was that? That was our forefathers paving the way with the gospel. The gospel brings prosperity to a nation. Absolutely. But you remove the ancient foundations where the good way is, and you'll have sickness and disease and poverty and economic collapse. You take that away, because God brings life. Jesus came to give abundant life. And so what we're doing is we're needing to rebuild the ancient highways. We're needing to take out the stones. And we're needing to redig the wells that our fathers have dug for us, so that the water can come forth. And so that's what we're doing. And so we're not keeping silent until the church is established again in this nation. It says here, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. So shakarabasarabasanda is preparing the way for the harvest to come on in. Preparing it, shurabasarabasanda. Build up the highway, remove the stones, raise up a banner for the nations. So all of that is intercession, and in your heavenly language, that's what you're doing. Taking out stones. We don't need to know what the stones are. Shukurabasarabasanda. And that may be that burden that you're feeling. And there's some stone that's hindering someone, or it's making it complicated for people to get saved or get to church. You know, Satan's the accuser of the brethren. And accusing people. Accusation. And so we're doing that with our heavenly language. Have a look at the next point. Labouring and intercession. And this, so we'll quickly explain this. Galatians 4:19, Paul talking to the Galatian church, he says, my little children, of whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. In the New Living Translation, it says, my dear children, I feel as if I am going through labour pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in you. That word labour means to be filled with passion, strong feeling, struggle, distress, pain, as in a physical pain, wrestle, labour, and burdensome. And so that's what you can actually sometimes feel in your spirit. Feeling sometimes in here, feeling down in here on your shoulders, in here. And it's interesting, labouring, and God was explaining this to me when I was learning this. And when I had our first child, I went into the hospital and I heard these ladies in the labor room, and they were screaming, and I was frightened. I was only 21 years old, and you know, just Stefan and myself in Wellington. I didn't have any family around us. His family in Europe, mine were in Auckland, and so I just arrived in the city up from the South Island. And so I was just, you know, quite, oh my God, what am I going into? There's no way out, you know, this is it. And I had good births with all of the children. And the last one was painless because I declared it. I declared it was quick and easy, fully dilated cervix when I needed to have it. And again, caries came out in half an hour. And I was quite concerned because I didn't even have time for my cup of tea when you go in the hospital. I just, the last birth was, hey, we quickly finished pork. I remember I said, Stephen, we better go to the hospital now because I'm actually feeling these contractions. And so went in there in half an hour and he was and born. Because, I mean, God, you know, I just believed for a painless birth. I mean, and the third one was painless, but it took 12 hours because I didn't know how I was believing for it. So for the fourth one, I got it right, quick and easy, fully dilated and out. And that's yeah, well, exactly. And so God was took me to that, and he said, Vanessa, when you give birth, it doesn't need to be loud and demonstrative and loud and like this. He said, it's wasting energy. He says, there's just muscle contractions coming up, coming out, and just moving, and you're declaring that your body, the body is moving, and it is working how it needs to work to release that. God was saying the same in intercession. Because when I first had these burdens come on me, I could feel them and I was making noises like, oh, like this. And my husband was going, what's going on here? And I'm saying, I'm spiritual, Stephen. You know, the manifestation, like this, you know. And that is real. That is real. I'm not downing that. You look in the Old Testament, and when Daniel said the Spirit of the Lord came on me, he said, no, I was trembling. And so that is, it's the body reacting to power. But it's interesting how God said to me, Vanessa, look at Jesus. He was in a natural body. The power flowed through him like no one else on the earth. And you didn't. There's no description of him shuddering and shaking. Oh, be healed. Oh. And so Stephen and God, come on, Vanessa, grow out of that. And so I've learned to allow the power to flow through like my big brother and allow it to minister. So the energy and the power is not wasted and letting the body pull itself in. And so with the natural birth, the same thing. And I don't want to discard the real because it is real. The shaking, read Ezekiel. He felt sick and he had that burden of the Lord. He felt that sickness. I feel those sicknesses at times. And sometimes I let myself go with some of those demonic things that I'm feeling in my body. When I was in Africa 2 years ago, my God, it felt like I was going through deliverance and I just let it go. The guys had gone out to the restaurant for dinner. And so I said, okay, God, what are you doing here? I want to check out what you're doing. And so I just let my body go with it and see how far we were going to go. And there was proper manifestations. Anyone that would have seen the room, I was writhing on this bed full on. I don't know what happened. But I came in through that. I came in through that session and it lifted. I wouldn't normally do any of that in public. God says deliveries don't happen in public. You're in a delivery suite. Nowadays they put everything online and everything on YouTube. But in God's day and in God's timing, they're actually discreet. Delivery rooms are a private place. And so when we're carrying the burdens of the Lord, we're bringing forth and we're delivering things. And so God was saying, Vanessa, lock yourself in so your body is reacting to the power, and it can, your body can go like this because it's actually reacting. And so I've learned to pull my arms in and I'll sit like this, if I can sit there, and pull it in and just sit there and so my arms aren't allowed to move. I'm holding myself like that, and then I'm letting the energy and the power and the travail and the labor and the burden come in here, kurabashanda, and it just allowing it and just letting that voice and not moving. Not, I can't walk. I mean, a woman can't walk when she's actually in labor, you know, in the later parts of labor. And so it's kurabashara basa. Ku, shu, shu. And then it's letting that come because again, it's your inner man. It's coming forth from that. And again, being not attracting attention to myself, and more in private, and just allowing the flow of the Spirit, because these burdens are real, and somebody needs help. Someone needs to be delivered, in some place. Someone's on tipping on to going into hell, and God's looking for an intercessor to stand in the gap. I'm looking for watchmen who will come on the wall, and as people we can say, God, wake me up at any time. I'm here for you. whatever you need, and just praying that through. And so I'm just allowing the body. And so I've grown from being very extreme as a young girl at 20, 30, to God just drawing natural pictures of the births that I was, you know, when I first went in there and seeing the screaming going on and frightened. And yes, they did bring things to birth. Those babies were born, but it didn't need all that energy. It didn't need all of that you know, stuff going on. And so God just training us. And so I've given you information on that within this to show you travail, laboring here when he talks about that. It says Epaphroditus, a servant of the Lord, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand complete. And so not only do we need to labor to bring people into the birthing, into the kingdom, but in order for them to be completed and grow up in all things into Christ, someone needs to pray. And sadly, the church, we have been at fault by saying, well, if they got anything, they'd turn up to church. When a baby's born, they need to be wrapped, changed, fed, cared for. How do we do that? The older ones in the church, kura basara basanda, giving them the word, the bread of life, and protecting them and covering them with prayer, because Satan's going to try and take that baby out. And so Epaphroditus, he was always laboring for you. That word in the dictionary means agonizomai, to strive or fight to obtain. We're fighting for that person. To enter a contest, contend with the adversaries, to fight, to struggle with difficulties and dangers, and it goes on. So this is very real. Very, very real. And as you start to give yourself to that, you will sense those burdens coming, you know, from the Lord. In fact, it's interesting. Vine's dictionary with those words, it's there. It says to feel the pains of childbirth. It's interesting how they come in here. To travail, birth pangs, have labor of childbirth, suffer greatly. The word travail might even denote the cries of a woman at the onset of labor. And so that's what I was doing. I was giving myself to those cries in the early days. Oh, Stefan! Oh, he's gone. Like that. Whereas now what I do, I just go. And you see, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, read it. It said he groaned in his spirit. He groaned in his spirit. He was actually laboring. He was travailing. He groaned in his spirit, Lazarus, come forth. And so you'll see he was actually laboring. You'll see when he groaned in his spirit, what was that? There was a travail happening in the spirit realm. And so he did that. And so we're just learning to as it were, see ourselves and sharpen ourselves with that and just be able to give yourself over to that. Initially in your own private room, if you want to be a bit more demonstrative, just to see what's going on, to learn, I don't believe God would mind that. Just so that you start to hear how you're feeling, and when you take that burden, allow your tongue to express how you're feeling. And sometimes it's just a ho ho fu fu, and you can't speak because there's something moving in the spirit realm. It doesn't make sense to the natural man. But then the spirit realm doesn't. But we've got enough scripture here to verify from scripture that this is very real. It's interesting, if you read after Father Nash, Google Father Nash, and you read some of these revivalists, you find that Father Nash would go into a city before, and he'd get a room, and he would stay there, and he would groan and groan and pray for weeks, 3 or 4, 5 weeks, and a city would break open. A city would break open and people would get born again. Oh, some amazing stuff you can read if you actually have a look online. Father Carey was the other one. You just have a look and they would go in, and it says that the screaming you would hear from these men, it was as if people were going into the pit of hell and they were screaming and travailing. And one of the guys actually died early just from the sheer weight of the travail that was on him. And not saying that's the will of God, these guys were down in the 1900s and so, you know, but it's interesting to know. And Kenneth Hagin actually says something, I'll read this to you. Kenneth Hagin says, do you know why babies are not being born into churches today? It is because there is no travail. And when some people begin to travail and groan in prayer, others are ready to throw them out. this is something, there is something out there in this area that we need to learn again. We will never really have the depths of the move of the Spirit of God until we have this kind of intercession. Pretty amazing, huh? This is one of the fathers of the faith. And so God says, as soon as Zion travails, she brings forth her children. God says, will I bring you to a time of birth and not give delivery? And so, I mean, I'm just sensing the anointing now. God's saying, come on, girls. Come on, men. There is actually a move hovering over our nation right now. God said, cry out for rain in the time of the latter rain. Cry out for rain. Now, if God's will was happening, God would have the rain down now. But he needs an intercessor to cry out for the rain. The earth, the atmosphere, brings the rain down. Gravity pulls the rain onto the earth. And then it cycles up again. And so we're needing to pull, cry out for rain in the time of the latter rain. Father, we declare rain. We declare the rain of your Spirit. We declare the rain of the Holy Ghost flooding this earth. We thank you for the river of life that brings healing to the nations. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We thank you that that river comes out from the throne of God and it brings healing to the nations. Wherever that river goes, it brings forth life. We declare there's life over. Life over our nation, Father. We declare everyone's eyes are open that they can see. We thank you, Father God, right now in Jesus' name. We declare salvation over our cities. We declare salvation over our streets. We thank you, Lord, that they are streets to dwell in. We take out the stones. We take out every opposition. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that we declare your will, your kingdom comes, is done in this nation, Father God. We absolutely praise you for that. Father God, as we've preached this word, and Lord God, just in a short time, Lord, talking about this travail prayer, I thank you, Father, that you release that anointing on your house, on your church, on your temple. You're the one that said that my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. You're the one that told us to ask for the nations, that I will give them to you for your inheritance. And so, Father, Lord God, we ask. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. You said, first of all, prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, Lord God, for kings and for all those in authority. And so, Father, we absolutely declare right now that kings in our nation, we declare they're making righteous decisions. We declare that our beehive is in revival. We speak unity right now over our nation. We declare that this nation is walking in unity, that we are making one sound and we cannot be stopped. We declare right now the people are as one and there's nothing that's impossible for us that we imagine to do. Father, we praise you for that right now. We speak peace. We say shalom. There's nothing lost, nothing broken in our nation. We declare jobs over our nation. We declare jobs in our street. We declare witty inventions coming out of the church. We declare prosperity right now over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God. We download those inventions, Lord, that haven't even come into the earth right now. They're coming in, Father God, into the house of God. We praise you, Father God. Kings in the earth are coming to the brightness of our rising. We praise you, Father, that we arise and shine for our light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. We praise you for that, Father, that we are, Lord God, carriers of your glory. We praise you that we're releasing your glory into the earth, into our families, Father God. We praise you for that, Father. We declare wealth. Wealth, the wealth of the Gentiles, the riches of the wicked are laid up for the just. We say right now in Jesus' name, Satan, you can't hold the wealth back. We declare right now that those riches belong to us. The silver and gold is God's. The cattle on a thousand hills is God's. We declare right now, we download prosperity in Jesus Christ's name into the church of the living God. We speak cancellation of debt. Cancellation of debt supernaturally, Father. We praise you, Father God, that Lord, that you brought them out with silver and gold. And there wasn't one feeble one among them. We thank you, Lord God, that we've been brought out with gold and there's none feeble among us. We praise you for that right now, Father. Kora baba basa nasa, yosha mana nasila, lusa 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 lina, lusa lusa. Now, when I'm saying that, I'm all of a sudden, my spirit is saying, loose, loose, loose. Sula la la sala naso.